So good to be at the house of the Lord today, and we're thankful for you folks that have come out to bear witness to the Word of God today and to be present with God's blessed family today. We're so thankful for you, and as we said, I come to the conclusion about 3 o'clock this morning. We're going to start preaching this series tonight, today and tonight, and probably over the next few weeks. It is concerning the subject just before His return. You know, I believe that, how many of you folks believe that we're living in the days just before the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ? Amen. And we have that blessed hope in knowing that we will be with Him and that that time is coming. And there's so much to be said about that. And I believe that God would have us to have that knowledge today that we're living in the last days. And the Bible's going to read such as this, if you'll be turning with us now, and to Luke chapter 18, and we're going to read verses 1 through 8, and as we think about the subject just before His return. You know, I believe that one thing, and our subject for this morning would be, that just before His return, there'll be a great distortion of the human mind. I tell you, have you ever seen things any crazier than what they are today? John, when I talk about a distortion of the human mind, would I be fair in stating today that I believe that the inmates are running the asylum? Would I be wrong to say today that I believe that people are, seems like, more against the church than any other time that I've seen in my lifetime? But as we think about this, and I want to read you a parable over here, and I want us to pay very close attention, if you will, to verse 8. Now the Bible's going to read such as this, and we'll go to the Lord in prayer. And He spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought to always pray and not to faint, saying, there was a city, a judge, which feareth not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of my adversary. And he would not for a while, but after he said within himself, though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubled me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord heard what the unjust judge said. Shall not God avenge His own elect, which cry day and night unto Him, though He bear long with them? Pay attention to verse 8. And I tell you that He will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall He find faith on earth? And when the Son of Man cometh, shall He find faith on earth? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank You so much for Your blessed word. We pray that You would deliver unto us, Father, as we deliver unto them, Lord. We thank You that You gave us a message and a help to speak today, Lord. We just thank You for each blessed one that's here. And I know that some has traveled some distance, Lord. We pray that You would bless them. And Father, we pray for those that are viewing us today by the airwaves, Lord. We just pray that You would touch their homes, that You would bless them. And Father, let it be said, it was good to share in Your word today. Father, for these things we ask in the name of Jesus, amen and amen. Beloved, as we think about how that I tell you that He will avenge them speedily, nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall He find faith on the earth? We're living in a time over there that they're trying to distort the Word of God, and they're trying to distort the things of God over there. And I'll tell you, if there's ever been a time that we as Christians need to buckle down and live a life of faith, it is in these last times in which we live in. You know, the Bible says this over in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 8, it says this. It said, and we're going to be going over there in the book of Exodus, and actually I'm going to be preaching out the book of Exodus, but when this is just a lead-in, bear with me and we'll get there. But we find over there that in 2 Timothy chapter 3, and you know, I love the way it started. He said, know this, that in the last days, perilous times shall come. Then it talks about all the things that will happen, that men will become lovers of themselves and all these things over there, and we'll be going back to that. But one thing that caught me is verse 7 and verse 8. Verse 7 and verse 8 said that we're ever learning, never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. But look at verse 8. Now as Jannes and Jabez withstood Moses, so did these also resist the truth, men of corrupt mind, reprobate concerning the truth. You say, preacher, what in the world has that got to do with anything? I'm glad you asked. Who was Jannes? Who were these men? We have to go all the way back to the book of Exodus, if you'll bear with me just for a moment. And we have to go all the way back to, I believe, Exodus chapter 7. And I can assure you all this is going somewhere. Bear with me. And we find over there that there was a people who was held bondage in the land of Egypt. And we find over there that God reared up a man named Moses, called him out of the backside of the wilderness, and he came to deliver God's people. How many of y'all believe that we're on the verge of crossing over our Jordan? Amen. How many of y'all believe that just any day the Lord could come by? Hey, listen, I had 5 people last week that crossed their Jordan. We have a stack of names out here in the cemetery of folks that have crossed their Jordan. But I'm hoping today that we'll all get to go at one time in one bunch. I really do. I'm looking forward to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe that Jesus Christ came to deliver a people that they might cross their Jordan. But as we find over there in Luke chapter 6, that, you know, and we look at all the miracles and the judgments that took place before God's people were let go. Do you know there's a lot of miracles and judgments taking place today? Amen. They are. There's a lot of miracles and judgments that are taking place today, hoping that they were no more than they were at this time over there. They were attention getters. They were attention getters. How many of y'all believe that God has control of all things? That there's nothing can touch you that does not already go through His hand. I'm speaking to those born again, saved by the grace of God, bought by the blood of Jesus Christ over there. There's nothing that can touch you that God has not already held in His hand. The Bible says, and Moses and Aaron, and I'm in verse 10, chapter 7, and Moses and Aaron went up to Pharaoh, and they did as the Lord had commanded them, and Aaron cast down his rod before Pharaoh, and behold his servant, and it became a serpent. And Pharaoh called his wise men and his sorcerers, now the magicians, and I have trouble with that word, I have all my life, of Egypt. They did also did like manner with their enchantment. Now these two men that were mentioned over there, I'm here to tell you in Hebrew, were part of these sorcerers and magicians. Sleight of hand, folks, if you will. Now, beloved, I want you to consider, if you will, just for a moment. The Bible says that in the last days, that they'll have a form of godliness and they'll deny the power thereof. There's a lot of things out there that looks like church. Amen? There's a lot of things out there that looks like God's in it. But they're mimicking the things that God is. See, God sent him over there and he said, I want you to cast Aaron's rod down there. It said it become a stake. These men come in there. They wanted to mimic the things of God. They threw theirs down. They became snakes. But the Bible says that Aaron's rod turned around and ate them. We're living in a time of distortion. Just because it has church don't mean it's a church. Just because it stands behind a pulpit and calls itself reverend don't mean it's a reverend. Just because over there that you pick up a book and it says a revised vision or something don't mean that that's a Bible. That's a distortion of the human mind in these last days. I'm going to tell you, you know, a lot of so-called religious establishment, they'll say, well, you know, I kind of accept this part over here, but I just really don't want to do with that. If they're not preaching the whole counsel of God, in other words, if they're not taking God at his whole word over there, stay away from it. Because it's a distortion of the mind. You might look like the same thing that God's done. It might look like the same thing that God is about, but it's nothing could be further from the truth. Don't you be caught up in that in these last days. And we find over there, and Moses and Aaron did, I'm in verse 20. And Moses and Aaron did so as the Lord commanded, and lifted up his rod and smote the waters, and were the rivers in the sight of Pharaoh and in the sight of the servant, and all the waters that were in the river were turned to blood. And the fish that was in the river died, and the river stank. Now notice it said stank, not stink. You want to know what stank is? That's very bad stink. Stank. And the Egyptians did not drink of that water of the river, for there was blood throughout all the land of Egypt. Look at verse 22. And the magicians of Egypt did so with their enchantments. And Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and neither did he hearken to them, as the Lord had said. Once again, men, sleight of hand, trying to mimic what God hath done. We're living in those times. And I'm preaching this to a warning to you over there is that you need to know whether it be of God or not. You know, the Bible says that we as born-again Christians, that we have an ability to discern the spirits, to know whether they are of God or not. Just because it looks like something does not mean that it is. Can you imagine? Chapter 8 and verse 6. And Aaron stretched out his hand over the water of Egypt, and the frogs came up and covered the land of Egypt. And the magicians did so for their enchantments, and brought up frogs unto the land of Egypt. Once again, trying to mimic the things of God, trying to copycat what God hath done, and it distorts the human mind. And I don't mean to, God knows, they don't need my help to tear down churches. The devil's done a fine, good enough job of that. He sure don't need my help. But we as organized religion, I want him to use the word churches, we want to embrace everything that comes down the pike. and justify it with the Word of God. Now, I'm speaking of such things as abortion. I'm speaking of such things as homosexuality. And we choose to embrace that under the name of religion. We're doing no more than what these magicians were doing. We're trying to copycat the work of God and disguise it in a very crude way. I'm in verse 6, verse 17. And when they did so, for Aaron stretched forth his rod and smote the dust of the earth, and it became as lice unto man and beast. And all the dust of the land became lice throughout the land of Egypt. But look right here. Something changes right here. And the magicians did so with their enchantments to bring forth lice. But look right here, church. But they could not. So that there were lice upon man and upon beast. And the magician said unto Pharaoh, this is the finger of God. And Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and hardened not unto them, as the Lord has said. Tried to do it again, but they could not succeed. They tried to mimic God one more time, but they couldn't succeed. Well, I tell you, there's a message in that. So what was the message over there? Then the magician said, this must be the finger of God. Now I'm going to tell you what we got to do in these last days that we're living in. We've got to find out these false teachers. We've got to find out these false teachers. Expose them for what they did, because when you expose them for what they are, people get saved. I believe that God's wanting to prove himself in a great and mighty way in these last days. I believe that he's wanting to perform in our hearts and minds, that we might be settled in on the fact over there in spite of the distortion that the world is giving us. I'll give an example of that. You know what the world view would have us to believe today? That it really don't matter whether or not you're a Muslim. It really don't matter whether or not you're a Buddhist. It really don't matter, regardless of what you believe. As long as you believe something, we're all getting on individual different buses and we're going to the same place. That's a lie crept up from the pits of hell. But that's a distortion of the human mind. I tell you, if there's ever been a time we need to take God at his word, and there's a time that we need to share God for what God said, it's the times we're living over there, because the magicians of this world and the soothsayers of this world, the false evangelists over there, will come to a point in time over there that they'll recognize that there is a God in heaven, just as the magician did. He said, this has got to be the finger of God, because we can't duplicate it. We can't duplicate it. We've seen miracles in Muslim more church, more so in these last days. I've been here 37 years, something like that. I don't know. But I've been here a while. And they're going to let me quit being interim one of these days and get me as a pastor if I can make it to 40. I believe that's the deal. But anyway, we see more miracles, I believe, in our church in these latter days than we've ever saw before. Why is that? It's because God is wanting to prove that he is real. Church, turn to the person to your right away and say, he's real. It's real. It's real. This is not some makeup. This is not some fantasy thing about. He's real. I don't know how many of y'all know who Ralph Sexton is. I don't know how many of y'all know who Ralph Sexton Sr. is. He's gone on to be with the Lord now. Ralph Sexton Sr. run a a TV program in Asheville, North Carolina called Send the Light Ministries, and he'd done it for 40 years. And Bugs Bunny or somebody come along on Sunday and knocked him off the air. I can't remember what it was, but when Ralph Jr. came up and started preaching over there, he had a stroke over there. And he had real problems in communicating, but I can see it now. And he would sit, and as Ralph Jr. would be preaching over there, he would stand over here on the outskirts of what he was, and with his stroke-ridden voice and his stroke-ridden capabilities, all he could say, it's real. That was his testimony up till his dying day, that there was something to it and it was real. I believe that we in these last days over there, that we need to realize today that what God is showing us and what God is doing in their life, it's real. Verse 24, and the Lord said also, and the Lord so did, and there came a grievous swarm of flies into the house of Pharaoh and his servants, and all the land of Egypt, and the land was corrupt by reason of the swarm of flies. I'm here to tell you, we'll find that all these plagues that came about, and all these miracles that came about, and notice that with every plague there was a miracle. You know, if you're embarded by flies and they leave, that's a miracle. Amen? So notice that with every judgment, there was a miracle. With every pretense over there, every judgment, it took a miracle to fix that judgment. How many of y'all think we need miracles in our lives today because God is bringing judgment upon this world in which we live in? We need a miracle. We Washington D.C. said they got the answers. There's a whole line of nuts up there trying to get in the basket to run up there. They ain't got the answers. We need a miracle from God to straighten this thing out. And if we can go out and hire magicians over there that can come out and try to soothsay us up something over there to make us feel over there. But Jesus Christ in these last days, he's the miracle maker. Verse 9, then the Lord said unto Moses, go unto Pharaoh and tell him, thus saith the Lord God of the Hebrews, let my people go that we may serve him. For if thou refuse to let them go, and they will still hold still, behold, the hand of the Lord is upon the cattle that are in the field, and upon the horses, and upon the asses, and upon the camels, and upon the oxes, and upon the sheep, there shall be a grievous murrain. Let me tell you something about this. If you don't get anything else out of my message today, I want you to tell you something about this. Why Egypt is suffering, why the Egyptians are having to face the judgment, do you know the children of Israel were unscathed? They didn't have flies. As a matter of fact, the Bible says they found clean water. The Egyptian resorted, if you'll read over there, they resorted to trying to dig subwells. And some of y'all might know what a subwell is. That's where you go down here on the creek bank and you go back in here on the gravel bar and you go back in, and they went down the River Jordan. They tried to dig them a hole because sand and all will filter it out. It didn't work for them. That ought to tell you something about the church in these last days. Amen. We might be witnessing the judgment. We might be seeing the judgment. And we might even be feeling the breeze off the judgment. But the judgment is not for us. The judgment's not for us. I want you to realize today that we find over there that the Bible is very plain that in the last day that the hand of the Lord will be upon his people. I'm glad that John chapter 17 and verse 16 says this. when Jesus looked to him one day and he was talking about you and I. And what happened in John chapter 17? I'm glad you asked. That's the most important prayer that will ever be prayed. So what is John chapter 17? It's that intercessory prayer. Somebody asked you what was the most important prayer ever been prayed. It's John chapter 17. Why is that? Because that's where Jesus was praying for you and I. But I want to read you one part of that intercessory prayer, and that's John chapter 17 and verse 16. The Bible says this: "They are not of this world, even as I am not of this world." Turn to that person next to you and say, "I'm not of this world. I'm not of this world, even as I am not of this world." I've tried to preach to you, and I've tried to establish you as a church the best that I know how. We talked about it in Sunday school today. This world is not your home. You are a pilgrim passing through a foreign land headed for home. You're not home yet. You're just on a journey. Hey, listen, somebody said that sometimes the journey is better than the destination. Not this time. As a matter of fact, the journey gets hard. The journey gets tough. But the destination will be wonderful when we get there. Just as these children of Israel were having to face all the trials and tribulations and seeing all the judgment go around them. Verse 9, "And it came to pass..." Verse 9, "And it shall become small dust in all the lands of Egypt, and shall be a boil break forth upon the bonds, upon men, and upon beasts throughout all the land of Egypt. And they took ashes from the furnace and stood before Pharaoh, and Moses sprinkled it into the air of heaven, and it became as boils breaking forth in the bonds of man and upon beast." Look at verse 11. "And the magicians could not stand before Moses because of the bowls, for their bowls were upon the magicians and upon all the Egyptians." Notice the magicians were very pleased in going and trying to mimic the things of God until it got real personal. When they started getting lice themselves, they said, "This must be the finger of God." When they started getting boils themselves, they realized the truth of the Word of God. You know, I hate to say this today, but we need to thank God for judgment. Amen. Hey, if we'd never had lice and we'd never got the bulls, we might not have never been saved. Amen? Huh? If we'd have kept playing church, pretending to be a Christian, I'm good, you're good, everything's good, everything ain't good. If you had never got the lice, you had never got the bulls of life, you might have not have never come to know Jesus Christ and the pre-pardon of sin. Hey, we got somebody over there that's having a problem with drugs. We got somebody over there having a problem with alcohol. We got somebody over there having a problem with what you watch on the internet. We have a problem over there. I'm going to tell you, it's just a sin problem with Jesus' solution. That might be your boil in life. What do you learn from it? That might be your lice in life. How many folks ever... No, I shouldn't ask you, have ever had lice? I remember when I growed up, it was a common thing, by the way. They say they still have it in school. Nobody talks about it, but head lice. Y'all know what head... What, everybody back there. You look like a bunch of dogs back there. You just mentioned it. But I tell you what my granny told me. It ain't a sin to get it, but it's a shame to keep it. Amen? Hey, if you're lost and undone today, all you got to do, you can get rid of it. Hey, whatever's going on in your life, just you can get rid of it. I'm glad today for the boils and lice in life because it separates the goats from the sheep. Amen. Notice the sheep over here ain't got no boils. The sheep over here ain't got no lice. Boy, them old goats did over there, though. And it gets better. Verse 22, and the Lord said unto Moses, stretch forth thy hand toward heaven, and thou shalt be hail in all the land of Egypt, and upon the man, and upon the beast, and upon the herbs, and upon the field, and upon all the land of Egypt. And Moses stretched forth his rod toward heaven, and the Lord sent thunder and hail, and the fire rang around the ground, and the Lord rang hail upon all of Egypt. Look in verse 26. Only in the land of Goshen, where the children of Israel dwell, there was no hail. Boy, that rhymes, don't it? I'll read that again. That just flows. And in the land of Goshen, where the children of Israel were, well, you could put the word dwell, and wouldn't that flow? But I'm revising. I ain't going to do that. Where the land of Israel were, and there was no hail. How many of y'all would like to tell the Lord and raise your hand up? Lord, thank you for I'm under your umbrella. I'm under the umbrella. Now, I want you to realize he didn't stop the storm across the nation over there, but where they were, he put his hand and said, it's enough. Now, that was bad over there. It said that there was hail fall over there. And a matter of fact, this wasn't no ordinary hail. It actually killed people. Because it talked about, Moses said, you better get your cattle in. You better get your people in there. And Pharaoh said, I ain't listening to you. And all these people got killed by the hail. Have y'all ever seen lightning run on the ground? That's what it said it done right there. It run on the ground. We're running out of time. We got to hurry up. We got the best to come. Folks, and you know, and Moses stretched forth his rod and came out of the land of Egypt, and the Lord brought the east wind, and there was a day, and there was a night when the morning come, and the east wind brought locusts. You know what happened there? It ate the Egyptian fruit. It ate the Egyptian garden. But it did not like what the Israelites grew. And there saw another, neither shall there a place for thee. But the children of Israel, I'm going to verse 21, I'm getting ahead of myself. And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch forth thy hand to darkness, and in thy darkness over the land of Egypt, and the darkness which shall fall. And Moses stretched forth his hand unto heaven, and there was a thick darkness in all the land of Egypt for 3 days. But look in verse 23. They saw not one another, neither rose from any place for 3 days, but the children of Israel had light in their dwellings. But the children of Israel had light in their dwellings. Aren't you glad that he brought us out of darkness into light? And when the whole world is dark around us, and I'm going to tell you, there's dark times coming in our lives today. Amen. There's some dark things that's coming over there, and there's some things over there that we don't want to face, but he has made us into children of light. And when the whole world is dark around us, there'll be light in our soul, just as it was with the children of Israel. And we know that the last judgment was the death of the firstborn. Verse 7 says this in chapter 11. But against any of the children of Israel shall not a dog move his tongue. In other words, we don't want the dogs even talking about the children of Israel. Against man or beast, but ye may know, listen at this now, church, ye may know that the Lord doth put a difference between the Egyptians and Israel. There's a difference in being a child of God and being lost today. And if you don't know the difference, you ain't saved. Amen. When I say you don't know the difference, then you ain't saved. Amen. Because what is it? God said when you got saved, that the old man died and the new man moved in. He said old things are passed away and all things become new. I'm glad that God does make a difference. Just as he made a difference between the Egyptian and the Israelite, he's making a difference between the lost and the saved in these last days that we're living in. The Bible says, and it came to pass in the land of Egypt that night, and it might smite the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be unto you a token of the house as you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. I'm glad today that I'm here to tell you that our Passover will be in the form of a resurrection one of these days. That our Passover will be in the form of a rapture over there. That when Jesus Christ comes in the clouds over there and the trump of God shall sound and we that are in the grave shall rise first and those which remain shall be caught up to be with him in the air and so shall we ever be with the Lord. We'll experience Passover. And do you know why you can be a part of that? Only if the blood has been applied. See, there's no remission of sin without the shedding of blood. And I'm here to tell you by the authority to God over there that when he sees the blood, he will pass over you. Born again child of God 2019, will give you a little update. My name is written in the book of life. My name is there, just as the song says. My name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life over there because there was a point in time that I gave my heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ. And when I stand before God, that's all that will matter. See, a lot of folks says, well, you're going to stand before God and give a judgment? Mm-mm, not if you're a child of God. My sins were taken care of at Calvary. I can't add one thing to that blood. I can't do no more than what Jesus Christ said. And when they pull up the record on Charles Shelton, my name's over there, and they open up the books, you know what they're going to see? They're going to see blood stains because my sin was blotted out. You say, preacher, I don't much believe it. Well, I don't much care whether you do or not. Because the Bible says, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Isn't that wonderful today? And what that means is you can be eternally forgiven from your past, your present, your future, that your sins are forgiven because of what Jesus Christ done at Calvary, no more, no less. You can't add to that. And there was a great cry in Egypt. There was not a house where there was not one dead. And he called unto Moses and Aaron by night and said, rise up, go ye forth among the people, both ye and your children, and go serve the Lord God as ye have said. See, he said, I want you to go over there and take a lamb. And Brother Eddie preaches a message on that. When you take that lamb, then it becomes my lamb. Personal thing, eh? Not just any old lamb, that's your lamb. And he said, I want you to go and I want you to sacrifice that, and I want you to offer it up, and if there's anything left, I want you to finish burning it up on the altar. But when you slay that, I want you to keep that blood, because I want you to take some hyssop over there, and I want you to go on the doorpost of your door, and I want you to strike it on both sides and across the top and make me a cross, because when I see the blood, I'm going to pass over you. Come on, get a song. Church, I'm begging you today. Children, there's perilous times coming in these last days. I just read it over there. In the last days, there shall be perilous times. And your only hope, it's the application of the blood of Jesus Christ. You say, well, how do I do that? Oh, it's real easy. All you do is you feel that tug. You feel that need. And you invite Jesus Christ to come into your life. You invite him in. He said, if any man shall knock, said, I'll open the door and I'll come in and I'll sup with you. Just receive what Jesus Christ has already done by faith. The Bible said, thou shalt be saved. Grannies and grandpas today, I'm glad I'm as old as I am, because I'd hate to see what it's going to be down the road, but I've got grandkids. And I've got children over there that might have to face these times that we read about in the Bible. I'm glad today that by the rapture we're going to get out of the worst of it, though. Amen. See, I happen to believe that the church is going to be raptured before the tribulation. You say, I don't much believe that. Well, I don't much care whether you do or not. That's what the Bible says. How about coming and praying for them grandkids, them grand young'uns? Times is hard. And listen, if I had a call today, it'd be wake up, America. Wake up and see the judgments that's going all the way around us. And don't believe these lies, these false teachers, these false prophets, these people that won't come out there and fall under the banner of the things of God, and nothing could be further from the truth. Put some reality in my life today. We're going to ask you to just stand. You respond as God has led you as we sing. Page 120 in the Heavenly Highway Hymn Book, 120. Y'all, come on. Come on. Y'all, come on. God is speaking to your heart.